Well, that's been a bust, too. A total fiasco. A burst of electronic snow nearly blotted out the picture on the screen, but Alex's voice continued, scratchy and weak. There's no relationship between what's happened here on Venus and what's happening on Earth. Just no relationship at all. The two planets might have started out with the same conditions, but Venus lost almost all its water very early. Where Earth built up oceans, Venus was so hot that almost all its water boiled off into space right away, billions of years ago. He was speaking rapidly now, as if afraid he wouldn't be able to tell me everything he wanted me to know. There's no way to compare Earth's greenhouse warming with conditions here on Venus, no way. The Greens are going to be very disappointed. They won't be able to use Venus as an example of what will happen on Earth if we don't stop our greenhouse warming. He coughed suddenly. The picture cleared slightly, and I peered as hard as I could, trying to make out his face behind the visor. The pod's systems are breaking down, Alex said, his voice almost calm. Not quite, but he wasn't the least bit panicky. I imagine he realized there was nothing at all that could be done to save him. Getting really hot now. Really broiling. The screen went blank for an instant. Then a faint, grainy picture came on again. No, I screamed silently. Don't go away, Alex. Don't die. Talk to me. Tell me. Failed, Alex said, sounding sadder than I had ever known him to be. I've failed. His voice faded out. I waited for more, but the audio gave me nothing except a background hiss. Then the picture went out completely. I sat staring at the blank screen, listening to the hiss of the speakers. Then even that sound stopped. I could hear nothing but the background hum of the computer itself. Alex's final thoughts were about failure. With his last breath, he believed that he had failed. Venus had defeated him. His bright hopes for helping the Greens to reverse the greenhouse warming of Earth had died on the hellish surface of Venus, along with his crew, along with himself. My brilliant, handsome, charming, laughing big brother died thinking of himself as a failure. And thinking of me. He hadn't addressed his last message to his father or to the Greens. He wanted to speak to me. He wanted to confess to me his final thoughts, his last realizations. I looked up from the dead screen, leaned my head back against the padded chair, and saw in my mind the times Alex and I had shared. They seemed so pitifully few, a handful of moments in our two lives. I resolved to do better. A new life. I called Marguerite to my compartment. She slid the door back less than a minute later, and I realized she must have been in her own quarters next to mine. Then I glanced at the desktop clock. It was past midnight, more than 5 hours since she'd handed me Alex's chip. I'd been sitting at the desk for more than 5 hours. I woke you, I said. She almost smiled. No, I don't dress that quickly. She still wore the coveralls she'd been wearing earlier. You couldn't sleep, I asked.
I was working, Marguerite said, taking one of the chairs in front of the desk. Thinking, really.
About what?
Your brother.
Oh.
He must have loved you very much.
I loved him too, I said. I think he's the only person in the solar system I've ever loved.
So we've both lost the one we love the most, Marguerite said, her voice low.
Your mother, I remembered. She nodded once, tight-lipped, holding on to her emotions. I stared at Marguerite. How like her mother she looked, yet she was a very different personality. Marguerite, how much material is there in my brother's remains? She blinked at me, puzzled. Enough to get a good sampling of his DNA, I asked.
For cloning?
She asked back. For cloning, I said. She looked away from me for a moment, then returned her gaze to meet mine.
It won't work, Van. I've already checked that. The heat was too much, too long a time. It dissociated all the polypeptides, all the long-chain molecules, the nucleic acids, everything. They were all broken apart by the heat.
My heart sank.
There's nothing we can do, Marguerite said.
He thought he was a failure, I told her. My brother died thinking he'd accomplished nothing.
I don't understand.
So I explained to her about the Greens and Alex's hope of using Venus to convince the people of Earth that they had to take drastic steps to avoid a disaster on Earth from global warming. Once I finished, Marguerite said,
Yes, the Greens will be dismayed, all right. Crushed. They were counting on making Venus a visible example. They wanted people to think of the greenhouse warming every time they looked up and saw Venus in the sky.
I shook my head. That's not going to work. The scientists like Mickey and the others will have to tell them the truth, that Venus's greenhouse effect and ours have nothing to do with each other.
Your father will be very pleased.
I looked up sharply at her.
He and his kind will trumpet the news, won't they? He even sacrificed his son to learn that Venus has nothing to tell us.
But that's the good news, I heard myself say, whisper almost.
Good news for your father, Marguerite countered.
No, I said, my voice louder, stronger, as I realized the truth of it. No, it's bad news for my father, and good news for the rest of us. She leaned forward slightly in her chair.
What do you mean?
The greenhouse warming on Earth has no relationship to the runaway greenhouse warming on Venus, I said, almost jubilant.
And that's good news?
I jumped from my chair and came around the desk. Of course it's good news. It means that what's happening on Earth isn't the inexorable workings of nature as it was on Venus. It's man-made.
But the scientists...
I grasped Marguerite by the wrists and pulled her out of her chair. The scientists have been telling us for nearly half a century that human actions are causing the global warming. We've been pouring greenhouse gases into the atmosphere by the gigaton.
But the industrialists have claimed the warming is part of a natural climate cycle, Marguerite said,
almost bemused at my sudden enthusiasm.
Right.
But now we have the imagery of Venus, where nature has produced a real greenhouse effect, and we can show that it's nothing like what's happening on Earth. I was so excited I wanted to dance across the cabin with her. Marguerite shook her head, though.
I don't see how that helps the Greens.
I laughed. Let my father and his friends trumpet the news that Venus and Earth are two completely different cases. Let them tell the world that Venus's greenhouse has no relationship to what's happening on Earth.
And how does that help the Greens?
Because we'll come back and say, yes, you're right. Venus is a natural disaster. Earth is a man-made disaster. And what humans have done, they can undo. Marguerite's eyes flashed with understanding. She broke into a wide, warm smile.
If human actions are causing the greenhouse, then human actions can fix it.
Right! And I wrapped my arms around her and kissed her soundly. She didn't object. She kissed me just as hard, in fact. But then she pulled back slightly and said,
Do you realize what you're getting yourself into?
I think so. I'm going to be an even bigger disappointment to my father, to Martin Humphreys. He'll go ballistic. Maybe he'll even attain escape velocity.
You're going to become the spokesman for the Greens, she said quite seriously.
I guess I am.
That's a heavy responsibility, Van.
I shrugged and nodded, without letting her out of my arms.
Some of the Greens' leaders won't trust you. Others will be jealous of you. There's a lot of politics inside the movement, let me tell you. A lot of knives in the dark.
I realized what she was telling me. I'll need someone to guide me, to protect me.
Yes, you will.
My father's people will be after my scalp, too. They can play very rough. She looked directly into my eyes.
Are you certain you want to take on all this?
I didn't hesitate for a nanosecond. Yes, I said. Then I added, if you'll come with me.
Me?
To be my guide, my protector. An odd expression came over her beautiful face. The corners of her lips curled up slightly as if she wanted to smile, but her eyes were dead serious. The mother of my children, I added. Her jaw fell open. I'm a very wealthy man, I said, still holding her about the waist. I don't have any really bad habits. I'm in reasonably good health as long as I get my medication.
And?
She prompted. And I love you, I said. It wasn't exactly true, and we both knew it. Neither one of us knew what love really was, but we'd been through so much together there was no one on Earth No one in the solar system, actually, whom I was closer to.